Welcome to the Ignite Your Acting Career Podcast, session number 4.
Are you looking to accelerate your acting career, to stand out from the pack? Join host Frank Fawcett as we ignite your acting career.
Hey guys, this is Frank Fawcett. I just want to let you know that Ignite Your Acting Career is now a member of the Amazon Affiliates Program. Go to our website, igniteyouractingcareer.com. Click the banner ad at the top. Shop as you normally would. No additional charge to you. Pick up a Amazon Fire TV right now. Or check out Amazon Prime. It's good research for actors. I've been watching it myself, and it's a great thing. So support us. Igniteyouractingcareer.com. Click the banner ad at the top, and you will be supporting our show. Igniteyouractingcareer.com. Hey, what's up? It's Frank Fawcett. I want to thank you all for joining me for another Ignite Your Acting Career. The love has been great. We've been getting a lot of great responses online, and I thank you all for listening. This thing is going to grow. It's going to exponentially grow. I want to just go ahead and thank you in advance for supporting us and making this thing possible. All right, let's get started. Today's episode is called No Excuses. No Excuses. It's a personal thing for us as actors to approach our career with no excuses. This applies to your life in general. It applies to all types of endeavors you can make throughout the course of your life. And we can't use excuses to stop us from becoming the artists that we know we are. If you do the work, if you consistently do, and I'm not just talking about the acting work, because everybody kind of gets a little hung up on the fact that, you know, you're very talented. Talent isn't enough. I just got to be honest with you. Talent isn't enough. When I think of all the talented people, myself included, who for whatever reason didn't become the next big thing. But what separates the wheat from the chaff? What separates the people that are in the business and constantly pursuing it from the people who fall through the cracks? And it can be dedication and preparing yourself completely for the task at hand. I can't say I'm perfect. I've never have been. I never will say that. But the fact is that you can tell you're the one that has to live with your choices to be completely committed to what you're trying to do. And, you know, like I say in past episodes, life gets in the way. Life has a strange sense of humor and seems to pop up every once in a while and kind of slap you back in your place and tell you what it is. I personally dealt with some things like that in auditions and in situations where I thought I was a shoo-in for the role and I was prepared as far as I could. I had my lines learned and all my ducks in a row. But for whatever reason, it didn't come to pass for me. So, you know, you have to look into what could I have done better. You know, and it's not to get hung up on these things, because believe me, if you do what I tell you to do, worrying about an audition will be the least of your worries. You won't have time to think about auditions that you've passed up, because there'll be such an influx. And when that hits, you know, when you're doing 2 and 3 auditions in a day, you have to be prepared to not get attached to a result. And that comes from confidence, that comes from preparation, that comes from training, and that comes from listening to people who've been there before, you know? And that's all I can give you as, you know, like I said, I'm not perfect, and I don't want to ever put myself out there in this guru lane, because everybody is a work in progress. I mean, you ask the top actors out there right now, and there's things that they wish they could do. I mean, let's be real. A lot of top actors don't even want to watch their performances. Now, you might say, well, what are they afraid of? Do they not, you know, think they were good? Did they not think? No, they're thinking about the next job. And they've got a mentality. It's forward moving like a shark. It's going straight ahead and constantly consuming things that get in its way. So it's the way to capitalize off of your moment. And that's what I want to prepare you for. I want you to be able to really attack your career in a way that will allow you to get to that moment and not be overwhelmed, which is almost impossible because we're human, as I said. But to be able to handle these things, you have to apply craft. You have to apply what you know as an actor and what you've learned in training and what you've heard in this podcast, and just relax on that. I had a time period of did 60 auditions in 3 months at one point. You know, I might exaggerate. It might be more like 4 months, 5 months, something like that. When I first got to LA, it was on. It was start your engines, get ready, start learning your lines. You know, I was getting a script in my email every other day, and it was, you know, how do I do this? All right, let me call up my friend. I called Corey Stoll one time, did some coaching with him. I did coaching with my friend Mike Crane. And, you know, these are all, you know, working actors as well, but that's what we do. We rely on each other. And it's almost like a web of connectivity. And that's how you can remain in this business and not have any type of ego clash, because basically everybody's lifting each other up if it's working in the right way. That's why I hate when I go into a room and I see an actor who's auditioning for the part who's stone-faced. You know, you speak to him and you try to get some type of, you know, some type of information. Yeah, they're focused on getting their job done, obviously, but it doesn't mean you don't have to be human, because invariably, you're going to run into everybody again. You know, that's the thing that's not told in this business. And that's why some people have lost careers based on their attitude and interaction with people in this business. And it doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how pretty you are at that point. All that matters is the fact that you didn't know how to be personable. And so, you know, that's part of what you need to cultivate as a full artist, a full actor. And I feel like that's part of what's going to be unique about this forum, is that a lot of people do not have the knowledge to apply past amateur acting. You know, to be a professional actor takes a lot of different skills. Acting isn't the only one. And you want to be good at acting. Let me tell you, if you come into my class, I'll be the first to tell you what you're doing wrong. You know, that's something I learned in London. You know, an American acting teacher will tell you 10 things you've done right, and a British acting teacher will tell you 10 things you've done wrong. It's truth. You know, there's some great, you know, American acting teachers that have come under, you know, that are very critical and very hard on you. But there is a tendency to, you know, kind of let people fall on their face in America. And I think it's hurt us. It's hurt us as our brand as actors. I mean, I look at TV and film right now, and it's a takeover. It's an invasion. You know, there's people on TV from everywhere but America sometimes. And, you know, there's a reason for that, because American actors have been given a reputation of not being dedicated to their craft, not even interested in furthering themselves and learning what it takes, what these people are doing to get there. They're just complacent and happy to be, you know, second fiddle, not competitive. That's tough. That's a tough thing. And, you know, the business is also, you know, perpetuating that with the fact that, you know, they get an extra added bonus in the international market for having actors that represented in another market, country, nation, you know. That is always, you know, in the back of their head when they're making a decision. They're like, yeah, well, you know, yeah, we could get an American actor and do the domestic gross box office thing, but we get 60% of our income from the international market. So we're going to go with this international star. We're going to take a risk on this international star. That still doesn't give us a reason to have an excuse, because that's out of your control at the end of the day. If you didn't get it, it wasn't meant for you. If your conflict in your schedule didn't let it happen. I had a chance encounter one time where I was booked in a play, did the whole run of the play pretty much up until the last 2 weeks, auditioned for a TV show, got a call back for a different part that was going to recur because they liked my audition in the first read. So I was faced with a decision of being at rehearsal for my play last week, not having an understudy, which is something that happens in most big plays. This was a smaller theater in a bigger organization. And I got the call that I had booked the role. So now this role will recur on the show. That was a hit show during the time. And they want me to start tomorrow. Ah! Sorry about that. Anybody is wearing headphones, but that really, you know, that was a decision that I had to make to see if it was put in front of me to see if what I was made of, and that I would honor my commitment for the last 2 weeks. I think at that point it was a week in the run of the play. I had committed to do this play, had gotten great reviews, had Angela Bassett come backstage and Louis Gossett Jr. and all these great people. And you know, my mom flew out for it, and it was a big deal. Got reviewed great in Variety. And I stayed in the play. I said, I can't make it tomorrow. If they can work with my schedule, then it's meant to be. It would have been a sizable amount of money. Character arc throughout the rest of the season. And, you know, they pretty much, you know, wanted to create a character around what I was bringing to them in my audition. So I told them, let me know what they say. I'm kind of new to this, but I'm going to go ahead and finish this play out because I don't have an understudy. But if they can work on my schedule, you know, I'd love to do it. And I got the call back from my agent, and I was like, oh, so what's the word? He said, yeah, they won't be able to do that. They want you for the full day of the time they have you there. And, they went on to their second or third choice. So, you know, it just goes to show you never can plan this thing out. You never know, what decision you have to make, because you know, all of a sudden you're thrust into this business and you're making decisions that can, you know, impact your family's life and your personal life and everything else. And, you know, it takes a lot of, I just hope you have good people around you as agents and managers that would only be telling you things that would be in your best interest. Now, I was devastated. Even though I had, you know, dug my heels in and made that decision, but it ended up being fine. the play actually got me a lot of attention and to my career, and got me in some other rooms because I impressed them in the audition room, and they called me back additional times for other shows. So, you know, I established a relationship with that casting director, and, you know, it to this day, you know, I if I go back in there, there's still a reference point, you know, and that's what we want to build. You know, we want to build the relationship, and we want to build the reputation that when we come in the room, we're about business. We're about knocking it out of the park with no excuses. So, you know, that's just one story. Of course, there's other times where I come in there and I'm just like a last minute, got the sides, and I do the best that I can. But, you know, you have to take those consequences, and you have to understand that responsibility is part of this. You're responsible to yourself, and you're responsible to the art of what you're doing, you know, as well as, you know, whatever business interests you have involved. So, you know, that ends up being a great learning experience and a reference point for the future, you know, because granted, it hasn't been that hot since, you know, those 60 auditions were great, and a lot of callbacks, but there is a season, and I want you to prepare for that season. I want you to visualize in your mind the time where you're having so many auditions that you don't know what to do, but by applying craft, you will be able to handle them. You'll be able to take that deep breath. You'll be able to warm up, get your voice ready to go, and knock it out of the park. Just light it up, you know? There is a tangible feeling when you've gone into a room and you've impressed them. You know, now you're not living for their acceptance. It is the confidence that comes off of you that is part of it. It is definitely tangible, and I think you pretty much know when you've done all that you can do to get this role. And that's a place we need to stay in. We need to live in that place. We need to allow ourselves to elevate our craft to a level where we can perpetually be in that place. It's a zone is what it is. That's what a athlete calls a zone. It's when the basket in the basketball game is a mile wide. You can't miss. I don't know if you saw the Golden State Warriors. Oh, was it the Golden State? Yeah, it's Golden State Super Splash Bros. Man, when they go off, when they really start hitting shots like that three-point competition, you know, it is a machine. And the only way you can get to that machine state is repetition, being in that situation, being in that clutch moment where you can hit that shot before the buzzer goes off and win the game. Man, acting is a sport. It's an Olympic sport. And actually, it's funny I mentioned that. I mentioned that on several episodes, and I just recently saw an article on backstage.com. The four things you must do to make it as an actor. And they go down everything we've talked about in our podcast. So I guess we're having an impact on some people, or maybe it's just in the ether right now that this is the consciousness that needs to come to us as actors, that we need to start pushing in the focus direction. You know, it's by Risa Bremen Garcia and Steve Braun. It was on February 17th. And they go down a list of things that I agree with them because I've said them already, you know, deal with your fear. You know, number one, everyone's afraid of the business, actors and everyone else. Nothing is certain. No one has the answers. And very few people are willing to put themselves out there enough to truly be seen. No one wants to deal with the profound heartbreak of being told by a casting director, a network executive, or all of America that the art they created was crap. But that's what it takes to make it. You have to push past the fear. And that starts with taking a fierce inventory of what you fear and where it guides you. Sometimes it's laziness. Sometimes it's working too hard on the wrong thing. Either way, you have to know where your fear is sabotaging you. It's pretty good. Pretty good. Number two, kill your entitlement. The sooner you realize the business doesn't owe you anything, the better. You're not owed a part on the show. You're not owed a good reader. You're not owed a good agent who fights for you. This isn't a cynical way of looking at things. It's releasing anyone else but you of the responsibility of making things happen. And I just mentioned that we have to take full responsibility for everything that we bring into the room, everything that we leave out on the field, basically. We have to, down to, you know, investing in yourself to get great pictures, headshots and resumes, making sure your resume is properly formatted, making sure you have taken vocal lessons to get rid of whatever regionalism you have that will not distract from the part. So, you know, it's a lot of things that we take into account to keep ourselves afloat in this business. Number three, be insanely talented. Sounds obvious, but many actors don't put the overwhelming majority of their focus on actually getting really good at acting. You spend time trying to find a way to get the best agents or doing all the casting director workshops to try to impress or trying to figure out what type of brand you are. Or you can spend time doing as much theater as you can, working out in class, shooting your own scenes, and taking every opportunity to explore deeper parts of your craft whenever and however you can. Absolutely. I totally agree. Because, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, all these workshops and all the business sometimes gets in the way of the real craft of acting. Because here's the thing, if you take care of the craft and you have a business acumen and you're able to make decisions on the fly that will make you that will benefit you in the long run, you've got the training to rely on, you become a machine. You become that 3-point shooter that, you know, that Steph Curry that can just sit behind the line and just knock them down all day. And, you know, like I'm saying, you know, you can do your best audition and not book. Let's say that. But your talent cannot be denied. What you bring into the room that is uniquely you, no one can take that from you. No one. And it's a simple, simple practice to go in there and bring yourself into the room. Because nerves and other things that take over, they shroud what you naturally bring to the character. You know, when someone says that you're indicating in acting, you might not think that you're telling a lie, but you're in essence telling a lie. You're basically not bringing your full self to the particular moment. You're putting more on top or you're not doing enough, you know, and that's center. And that's why, you know, a lot of acting training starts off from the individual. It starts from knowing yourself. It starts from being truthful to yourself. Because how can you be truthful to a character if you're not truthful to yourself? How can you not know How can you know, what's going on in the room if you're not being present in the room? If you see that, everybody's giddy because they just got back from lunch, or they're tired in the room because, when I say in the room, I mean the audition room when you come in. You don't know what's going on in there, but if you're not present in yourself, you cannot gauge that. You cannot be a part of that. You cannot bring your, some people go in there as sentinels, but the key to casting and castability is, would I like to spend 2 weeks to 3 months with this person that's coming to the room? Would I like to, you see some people are casting based on simple likability. They could care less about what you're really saying in your script. They're casting on the fact that I believe this person is capable enough to do this job, and I believe he's also capable of not getting on my nerves. He or she is capable of not getting on my nerves. So, it's great. Moving right along, number four, they said you have to love it. I talked about this in, all three of the prior episodes, all four of the prior episodes. And to do the kind of work required to get that good and endure the often crippling rejection of the business, so you stay around long enough to get that good. You're going to have to love acting. You're going to have to love spending hours in some grimy old theater, grinding through a scene that just doesn't seem to work. You're going to have to love trying a new acting technique and feeling like a total novice, even though you went to a fancy theater school. You're going to have to love shooting your only scene of the day at 3 a.m. in the cold, even though you were called to set at noon. The craft will frustrate you and break your heart at some times, but ultimately you're going to need to love it. And I always stress that. It's that desire. That's that igniting that desire. That's that igniting the love for the craft and everything about it. My acting teacher, Ron Van Loo at NYU, told me the thing that you dislike most about what you have to do in a scene is the thing you should focus all of your energy into loving the most. And that can be applied to this whole career. You have to pick your battles, and you have to understand that, your insane focus on this one thing, why is it bothering you that you don't like saying this one speech in your Shakespeare play? Why is it, or you think you're not capable of doing this, pulling off this soliloquy? You have to tackle that soliloquy as if it is your favorite part of this play. And it will get you through, I'm telling you. And it, at a certain point, it will become your favorite part of it. And it's just it's a brilliant philosophy for attacking the difficult times, even in your career. There was a time where I was just going back and forth from coast to coast and, driving my car from New York to L.A. and L.A. back to New York. And, I just looked at it as the open road. It was poetic all of a sudden. It wasn't, I actually asked to be bi-coastal in my in my visualization of myself outside of school, and I got it, but not in the way that I wanted. I was more interested in flying, jet-setting in a private jet across country. Didn't happen that way. I was driving my mom's car at one point, my car, and just, actually going into that, you know, that just enjoying that trek and that journey. I knew on the other side when I was coming from LA, oh, there's going to be all this great theater and culture in New York, and I can't wait to get there, but I'm going to enjoy every step of this journey. I'm going to take all this expansive United States and inhale it. You know, it was, you know, just enjoying New Mexico and finding that, oh man, this is great. I love the temperature here and like the beautiful mesas and, you know, in Arizona, and then, you know, moving my way into Texas and seeing this, pulling over to this abandoned gas station and just being like, oh wow, this is crazy. This is like something out of No Country for Old Men. I'm like, all of a sudden I'm in No Country for Old Men. It was like, you know, I look around and I'm just like, this is sketchy, but there's no open gas station at this exit. So I'm having this adventure, you know, and just leaning back and taking in every moment. Something that could have been mundane and just, oh, I need to get from point A to point B. I made it rich and full. And that's part of the love. I knew I was doing it because of my love of this career. There's no other reason to move to New York or LA, just, you know, there are plenty of people that are happy living in the towns that they're in. And now with, you know, the advances, technological advances, you know, we can really have a career in the town that we're in. We don't have to do that. You don't have to do that journey. But I bring that up just to make an example of, you know, the dedication and the love can fuel you. So, okay, well, that was a good show. Well, go ahead and check out igniteyouractingcareer.com and pick up our online video module, No Excuses. That's why I titled it this, Get Professional Acting Auditions by Ignite Your Acting Career. And an Ignite Your Acting Career tutorial on how to get professional acting auditions today. Don't wait to be discovered. Work to be discovered. And start it right now. And you can find that on our Ignite Your Acting Career website, igniteyouractingcareer.com. Of course, you can follow us on Facebook, Ignite Your Acting Career. We're on Twitter at Ignite Acting. We're also, I have a LinkedIn group that I'm trying to start, Ignite Your Acting Career, because it's an underestimated social network with great marketing possibilities. So, and everybody professional is on there. So, you know, I encourage everybody else to jump over to LinkedIn too and, you know, go ahead and join that group. And I'll be making posts there as well. You can check us out on SoundCloud. This podcast is also on iTunes. It's on Stitcher, and I'm pretty sure it's on some other podcatchers by now, too. So we thank you. Thank you. I thank you so much for joining us today, and make sure you ignite your acting career. Catch you on the next one.